the Archbishop of Canterbury in his Midnight Mass address, which actually was recorded on Christmas Eve, had a fascinating story of the account of the commander of the Bethlehem police supervising the census in Bethlehem. And they got all sorts of things that could go wrong, and when they thought they'd actually got it all sorted, there wasn't anything else that could possibly go wrong. Of course, it all went wrong. This morning's a bit like that. Where was the heating? Where was the electricity? Where's everything gone? But we've got here. John the Evangelist is fascinating, and John's Gospel is absolutely fascinating because it sets off in a very different direction. It's as if he's looking at the ministry of Jesus in a different way. He's got no baptism, either of Jesus or of John, but he refers to John. He's got no Lord's Supper, but he's got foot washing. Well, that's a whole sort of, if you like, sort of several books in one go to investigate all of that. But what I want to sort of look at this morning is this problem of using the wrong spectacles, looking at things in a different way, or in a way that actually doesn't enable you to see what's really going on. If we were able to sing this Christmastide, maybe one of the carols we would have sung would be, "Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free, from our fears and sins release us, let us find our rest in thee," one of John Wesley's carols. And at Christmas time, we rehearse all the Old Testament prophecies about Jesus, about the coming of the Messiah, and how they're fulfilled in Jesus, and they're both consoling to the believer, and possibly a little puzzling as to why the Jewish people didn't see this to be the case. Why didn't they realize immediately that this was prophecy being fulfilled? Well, not surprisingly, they're in the books of the prophets mainly. We read a number of them at our Christmas services. We have Isaiah's prophecy about Emmanuel, about a virgin shall conceive and bear a child, and he shall be called Emmanuel. We have Micah's promotion of the status of little Bethlehem. Jeremiah foresees a new king. And the fact that Jesus fulfills them one by one enables us to believe that, yes, Jesus was the promised Messiah. Come, thou long expected Jesus. But the Jews then and now still don't believe that that is true. The problem is that many of the predictions that are used weren't originally messianic prophecies at all. For instance, the suffering servant passages, which are so wonderful, that we use particularly on Good Friday, about the servant who was despised and rejected and yet never opened his mouth, was never seen by the Jewish community as being a messianic prophecy. There's little things like, they shall call him, a virgin shall conceive and bear a child, and you shall call him Emmanuel. Well, actually, Jesus was called Jesus, not Emmanuel, but we skip over that one. Matthew's Gospel's got that he should be born in Nazareth, but to fulfill the prophecy that he should be called a Nazarene. Well, we're not quite certain where Matthew got that from, because nobody can find it in the Old Testament. So it's not surprising that the Jewish community, both then and now, reject this argument from prophecy about Jesus. If Jesus was a Messiah, he has to be a very unexpected Messiah. It's not come thou long expected Jesus, it's come thou unexpected Jesus. Because we discover these things by hindsight and by looking at them after the event. But I thought it'd be worth looking at, why is it that the Jewish community do not believe that Jesus was the Messiah? These are things that actually John's Gospel goes through, one in particular, in very great detail. Well, first of all, they believe then and now that the Messiah would rebuild the third temple. The second temple, Herod's temple, of course, was destroyed by the Romans. That the third temple would be rebuilt by the Messiah. That the Messiah would gather all the Jews back to the land of Israel. That the Messiah would usher in an era of world peace. An end to hatred, an end to suffering, an end to all disease. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall man learn war any more. And that also the Messiah would spread the universal knowledge of the God of Israel, uniting humanity as one. And in Orthodox Jewish belief, if anybody claiming to be a Messiah fails to fulfill even one of those, he cannot be the Messiah. And added to that, of course, there was the expectation, really, particularly in Jesus' time, that the one that was going to come was going to be a king who was going to kick out the hated Romans and rule again in Jerusalem. But they're wearing the wrong spectacles. And actually, so can we at times as well. They're wearing the wrong spectacles because Jesus did prophesy that the temple would be rebuilt in 3 days. That's in John's Gospel. And in John's Gospel, John is very keen to point out that what Jesus means is his body is the new temple, and the incorporation of you and I as Christians made one in Christ, that is the new temple that has been built. So yes, that prophecy has been fulfilled. But what about drawing all the Jews back into Israel? St. Paul tackled that one. And St. Paul said, actually, some things are impossible. You couldn't get everybody back into Israel. But what you can do is extend Israel to everybody. What you can do is say, the boundary markers have now been moved out to encompass all of humankind. And so all are gathered in. And that God has indeed made it possible for all to be gathered in to the new Israel. That's one of the reasons why Paul wasn't popular with some of the Jewish community at the time. And it was one of the distinguishing marks of the new church. And yes, an era of peace. But an era where the foundations are laid for how peace can be developed. How peace can actually be put into the lives of human beings throughout the world. A promise that Jesus talked about in the development of the kingdom of God, but also that John, and we're not sure whether it was the same John or not, writing the Revelation, has us the new Jerusalem and the new heaven and the new earth. Yes, there is the slain Lamb of God now reigns in the new Jerusalem, delivering all that has been promised. And the mission of the Christian Church is the universal proclamation of the knowledge of the kingdom of God, one that is not yet finished, one that still requires to be finally fulfilled, and will only be fulfilled in the day of his coming. Well, was it going to be a king to kick the Romans out? Well, most people believe that. Certainly the wise men, the Magi, turned up, and they were looking for a king because, you know, why do you get this wonderful sort of movement in the heavens? You know, you may have seen over the last few days the conjunction of the two stars in the sky. And if it wasn't cloudy, the brightness of that star only happens every 700 and something years. A remarkable event. They were looking for a king. Almost certainly Mary herself thought that the Messiah, when the Messiah comes, would be a king, because that's what everybody thought. But they were wearing the wrong spectacles, because Jesus redefined what kingship was to mean. Jesus was the Messiah that they ought to have been looking for, the one that they actually needed. Because if you were actually looking for the sort of Messiah that was common expectation, Jesus was about the last person you'd expect. He was the one who cast down the mighty from their seats and exalted the humble and meek, who was born in a humble background, not in poverty, but in a humble artisan trade. What does God think he's doing, sending the Messiah in a way like that? Because he exalts the humble and the meek. Because Jesus is the answer to the question that we and they didn't have the wit to ask in the first place, because we were wearing the wrong spectacles. He's something so new, he didn't fit into the categories. He didn't fit into the way in which they expected things. It's what actually in science, we've learned to describe as a paradigm shift. When the old way of looking at things is just inadequate, and you've got to think a whole new way of doing things. That's actually what happened. We had to readjust our minds. In the era of slogans on walls and things, I suppose in about the 1970s, one of my favourite ones was, do not adjust your mind, there is a fault in reality. Learn to wear the right spectacles. But the kingdom of God challenges our whole social setup. That baby that was born in a stable grew up to challenge almost everything that could possibly be thought of. He came to challenge the internalization of the family and the state and people as authorities that had to be obeyed. He challenged the internalization of tradition and rules governing conduct, because he did all the wrong things and was criticized for it. Jesus requires of his followers that they examine the traditions, they examine the social setting we're in. St. John points it out in his gospel again and again. The traditional Jewish expectations that they had then and today are actually unfulfillable. You can't actually ever see how that could be fulfilled. And you know, that's a convenient way of doing nothing about it. You set an objective that you know can't be fulfilled, and therefore you're excused from having to do very much. I always quail a bit when I hear some people, often in enthusiastic meetings of church leaders, saying, we're praying for the conversion of all of Gloucester. And I think, actually, that's not going to happen. Or the whole of England, or the whole of the world. And the trouble is, when you set standards like that, actually it excuses you from doing anything, because deep down, you know it's not going to happen. And it's not just the Jewish community who is guilty of that. As I've just pointed out, the Christian community does it as well. And we do it actually over this Christmas season too. We tend to either get ourselves locked into the sentimentality of Christmas Day, the baby in the manger, the presents, that everything's for the children and the family, and locked into that. Or we may have had a few addresses during Advent pointing out that actually it's about a future coming and a judgment as well. But we forget, as John's Gospel doesn't allow us to forget, that the Baptist, John the Baptist, has come to say, I may be baptizing, I may be immersing you in water, but the one who comes will immerse you in the Holy Spirit. We forget about the coming of Pentecost. We forget about the coming in the lives of every individual Christian throughout the world, at every time and in every place. That actually, if we wear the right spectacles, Christmas is about empowering the church to live as the church in the world. Come, thou unexpected Jesus, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. Come, thou unexpected Jesus, come change our values, come change our expectations, come change our vision, come change our spectacles. Amen.